Good morning, Test Therapy Church Devotional All Podcast. Mitch leads us in. Let's go.
Choose each winding path I tread. Gives me grace for every trial. Feeds me with the living bread.
All right, Isaiah chapter 49 is where we are this morning. We'll get started. This is the story of Zion, the city of Jerusalem, the city of God, the people of God, crying out, saying the Lord has forgotten them. This is what it is, verse 49 of Isaiah chapter 49. Excuse me, verse 14 of Isaiah 49. Zion says, the Lord has abandoned me, the Lord has forgotten me. Can a woman forget her nursing child or lack compassion for the child of her womb? Even if I forget these, yet will I not forget you? Look, I have not inscribed on your hand. I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. Your builders hurry. Those who destroy and devastate you will leave you. Look up. Look around. They all gather together. They come to you. As I live, this is the Lord's declaration. For you will wear your children as jewelry and put them on as a bride does. For your waste and desolate places and your land marked by ruins will now indeed be too small for the inhabitants, and those who swallowed you up will be far away. Yet as you listen, the children that you have been deprived of will say, this place is too small for me. Make room for me that I may settle there. Then you will say within yourself, who fathered these for me? I was deprived of my children and unable to conceive, exiled and wondering, but who brought them up? See, I was left by myself, but these, where did they come from? Now this is what the Lord God says. Look, I will lift my hand to the nations and raise my banner to the peoples, and they will bring your sons in their arms and your daughters will be carried on their shoulders. Kings will be your guardians and their queens your nursing mothers. They will bow down to you with their faces to the ground and lick the dust at your feet. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Those who put their hope in me will not be put to shame. This is a wonderful little section in Isaiah's prophecy because he's referring to Zion, the city of God, Jerusalem, the center of the worship of God, crying out to God saying, I've been forgotten, I've been abandoned by you. I was made by you for the purpose of being the place where you would dwell with your people, and I've been abandoned by you. As we think about this in the context of Isaiah, the people of God have been carried off into captivity. They're in Babylon during the midst of this prophecy, and they're not there in Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is in ruins and not inhabited by the people of God, and they've been carried off as a result of their disobedience and been captured by the Babylonians, whom we saw a couple times ago that God used for his purposes and for his glory. Though they brought destruction upon the people of God and carried them off into captivity, there's a sense in which, look at the grand scheme of things, this is a skinned knee for the Israelites or for the Judeans or for the people of God, because this is a skinned knee. It's a wound that they're having to endure, the hardship of that wound, but it's not going to affect them long term as far as hurting them when it comes to their eternity with God and fulfillment of God's purposes. And so he says that Zion's going to cry out and says, hey God, where are you? And then he says, but don't worry, I'm going to restore you. I'm going to bring children, people from far off, and we're going to re-inhabit the land. In fact, we're going to grow the borders and grow the boundaries of the land in such a way that we'll just make room for everybody that wants to come. And we're bringing in people from all over, and the nations will bring your people to you, your children to you. Now, we take that and apply it in the New Testament. We think about it in terms of the New Testament. The people of God is obviously the church, the Zion. Is the dwelling place of God with his people, which is the gathered body of believers. And so when we think about the church as a whole, we think about how it may appear sometimes when the Christian church cries out, God, why have you forgotten me? God, why have you left us to be to struggle the way that we're struggling? Where are you? You've abandoned us. Now, we could often think about those in terms of individualistic nature or individualistic terms, where we think about how God's abandoned us individually, and that's part of our modern world with our obsession with the self. But the Bible doesn't have that understanding the way that we do. people were certainly aware of themselves and they were aware of their own sin. We find that throughout the Bible, but they were not worshipers of the self the way that our society is. And so we interpret everything through the individualistic lens of the self. But that's not true when it comes to the Bible. The Bible interprets it through the context of the people of God. We are part of the people. We were made for God to live in relationship with God in community with other people. That's the way the Bible teaches us that we are to live. That's the proper understanding of human nature and human society. And so when we think about the New Testament application, this isn't about, hey, where are you, God? You've abandoned me. No, this is a question that the church as a whole asks. She asked the question, God, why does it seem that you've abandoned us? Why does it seem that we're struggling? Why does it seem that you're not there? And what God says in this prophecy is wonderful. I don't worry, I'm going to bring in a multitude that is so great, and it's beyond your understanding. It's beyond your it's beyond comparison. It's beyond comprehension. I'm going to bring them from all ends of the world, and they're going to come in, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the inhabitants of Zion, the inhabitants of the church is going to be so great and so wonderful and so glorious and so magnificent that you can't even begin to comprehend it. It's going to be exponentially better, infinitely better than you could ever ask or imagine. And that's what God's promise is to his church. And so in the context of the prophecy, it's don't worry, Zion. But in the context of the story of God with reference to the way we understand it and our position in the New Testament, as New Testament Christians, those who are in the church of God, we understand that this is still off into the future. We look at it almost redemptively, historically. We look off into the future and we say that God's still working a tremendous work and he's going to grow his people. And at the proper time, he's going to bring a tremendous celebration of worship and praise. That's what the promise of Revelation 7:9-7 is, where he talks about the multitude that is going to be there of every tongue, tribe, and language, and color, and race, and we're going to be praising God in ways that we would never imagine. It's going to be a wonderful thing. There is a definite end. There is a glory that is waiting for the church. We have to press on in faith. We know that God has not abandoned us. His purposes are true. He is a sovereign in our difficult times as he is in our good and glorious times. You guys have a great day. God bless you. I got to go. See you tomorrow.
You carry me close to your heart, and surely your goodness and mercy will follow.